Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Sometimes I wonder what it would have been like to be present when Jesus performed a miracle. Not just to read about them, but to actually, with your own eyes, to see the lame walk and to see the blind receive sight. Can you imagine what it would have been like to watch Lazarus come out of the tomb? 4 days dead, 4 days buried, and Jesus spoke and that dead man came out of that tomb. I can't imagine what that would be like, but sometimes I wish, you know, that I could have been present when those things took place. It's not always, though, the actual miracle, at least for me, that captures my attention when I read about these things. And in Luke chapter 5, there's the story of the healing of the leper. And it's always something else. When I read this passage, when I read about this miracle, it's always something other than the actual healing that stands out in my mind. I want to read it and talk about it this morning. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. I'm just going to read three verses. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. This guy said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Jesus wanted to heal him. It was the will of Jesus to heal this man. But it was also the will of Jesus to do some other things. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It was the will of Jesus to show compassion. We just sang about how much Jesus loves us. And this miracle proves that. Mark records the same miracle. And I want you to listen to what Mark said. Mark 1:41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now I think this is important, and this is what always stands out to me about this miracle. Before Jesus healed him, he touched him. Now that may not sound like a big deal to us, but I want you to know something. To this man, that was a big deal. He was a leper. As a matter of fact, verse 12 says he was full of leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease. And it affected every part of a person's life. Physically, it caused sores or boils to come up on the skin all over the body. They were painful. They itched. They were full of liquid matter. This gets a little gruesome. Most of the time, lepers would take broken pieces of pottery and scrape their boils to release the liquid and to get relief from the itching. Well, of course, the scraping itself was painful, and then the itching returned soon after they finished. But that's one of the things that they had to do. A leper had to stay a stone's throw away from everybody else. And sometimes, to make sure that lepers stayed a stone's throw away, people would literally throw stones at them. If they got anywhere close to anybody else, especially if they got within that stone's throw, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Besides the sometimes parts of the body, literally now, parts of the body would rot and fall off. Sometimes the nose would rot and just sort of disappear. Fingers, toes, in extreme cases, hands. Arms, legs would literally rot and fall off of the body. Obviously, it was a deadly disease. It was hideous to look at. It was painful to endure. And there was no cure physically. Socially, I've already mentioned this, the leper was considered unclean. So they had to separate themselves from everybody else. Most of the time they lived without outside the city walls. If the city had a wall, most of the time they were cast outside the city walls. In order to eat, they had to go to the garbage dump and get whatever they could find in the garbage dump. They were not allowed to attend any public meetings. They couldn't come to worship. They couldn't come to the church. They were unclean. No social gatherings of any kind. You talk about social distancing. They invented the term. So nobody ever touched a leper. They were unclean. You can imagine the emotional impact that would have on somebody. I heard just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, that the psychologists and psychiatrists, their appointment books were full. They had waiting lists of people wanting to talk to them because people were so depressed from social distancing. Well, you can imagine what it would have felt like for a leper. Emotionally, they were depressed. What's the word? They were distraught. They were a wreck. They were lonely. They just wanted to be, in some cases, they just wanted to be around people. They wanted to see their family, talk to their family. They wanted human touch. Financially, of course, they couldn't keep down. They couldn't hold down a job because everything they touched was rendered unclean. So they lost everything they had financially. They had no money. They had no place to live other than just out in the wilderness someplace or at the garbage dump. So this guy physically was full of leprosy. He was hideous. I don't mean to be cruel, but he was hideous to look at. He was a social outcast. He was an emotional, depressed, upset, wrecked individual. Financially, he was broke. Now, I want you to listen again. I want to read this verse again, and I want you to listen again to what Jesus did, verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him. There was no reason for Jesus. By the way, he touched him before he healed him, if you'll read that closely. He touched him while he was a leper. There was no reason for Jesus to touch him. As a matter of fact, there was every reason in the world for Jesus to not touch him. But Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. That was an act of compassion. That was Jesus saying, I love you, son. Before he touched him, before he healed him, he touched him. I got to thinking about that. And isn't that exactly what Jesus does for every one of us, saved or unsaved? It doesn't make any difference. We've all sinned. That's what the Bible says. We've all sinned. And our sin makes us repulsive. Our sin makes us hideous. Our sin affects every part of our life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that our sin separates us from God. And in our sinful, wretched, wrecked, repulsive state, Jesus, in our sin, touches us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, he's touching you right now with conviction for your sin. That conviction that you feel is an act of compassion on the part of Jesus. He does that because he loves you. And before, in our sin, he touches us. Christian, you remember before you got saved, you felt conviction. I felt conviction for my sin. That was Jesus touching you, touching me in our sin. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our sin, he reached out and touched us. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm glad for that. If he had not convicted me of my sin, I wouldn't have gotten saved. If he hadn't drawn me to him, I wouldn't have gotten saved. Neither would you. So sometimes I watch people up here. I don't have anything else to do besides talk. Especially at the invitation. I remember one couple. They haven't been to our church in a long, long time. As a matter of fact, I think they've even split up now and one's moved off to another place. But they used to come. They didn't come regularly, but they would come, you know, every so often. And every time they would come, when it came time for the invitation, I could see conviction on them. Now, I know that sounds funny to say, but I could see it. Almost always, they would turn to each other and start whispering to each other. Or they would start picking up their stuff to get ready to go. Or sometimes they would have kids with them and they'd start saying something to their kids. It was conviction. And I know one of the reasons they didn't come all the time is because they got mad because they were under conviction. It was the love of Jesus. It was Jesus touching them in their leprosy and saying, I love you, wouldn't you like to come and be my child? That's what he did for us if you're a Christian. That's what he's doing for you right now if you're here and you're not saved and you feel that conviction. That's because Jesus loves you. Don't be mad about it. Be glad. In our sins, he touches us because he loves us. It's an act of compassion. It was also Jesus' will to cleanse him, to heal him. The touch of Jesus showed his compassion. The words of Jesus brought cleansing. I want to read Luke 5:13 says, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He touched him, and then he spoke, and when he spoke, he was healed, he was cleansed. It was the will of Jesus to heal him. I want you to notice again what the leper said. Go back to verse 12. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had no doubt that Jesus could heal him. If you will, you can. His only question was, I wonder if Jesus will. I think we can understand that, can't we? Certainly in his case, nobody would talk to him. Nobody would touch him. Nobody wanted anything to do with him, even his own family. Why would Jesus take the time to mess with him? If you will, you can. I think we can relate to that, can't we? Sometimes, don't we pray? We've got a problem, we've got a situation, whatever it might be. Now, Lord, if you will, I believe you can. I just don't know if you will. And that's why Jesus, after he touched him, said, I will. I want to. I want to heal you. And so he spoke the words and he was healed. Now, I want you to know, there is no doubt that Jesus can forgive your sin. As a matter of fact, you know, you've heard me say this before. Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sin. In Mark chapter 2, four guys brought a paralytic to Jesus. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And so they put him on a cot. Jesus was there. And these four guys, one on each corner of the cot, brought this guy to Jesus. You know the story. They lowered him down through a hole. They tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down through the ceiling. And when he got down there, Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, there's a group of scribes there, and they were part of the Sanhedrin councils, Pharisees or Sadducees. And they began to talk. If you read the story in Mark 2, they began to talk among themselves. Well, who does this guy think he is forgiving sins? Well, that's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. I want you to listen to what happened. Mark 2, verses 10 and 11. Jesus said, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And the next verse says that he got up and took up his bed and walked and went home. Jesus healed him physically to prove that he could spiritually forgive his sin. There is no doubt that Jesus can forgive your sin. Amen. I've had people tell me more than once, oh, I've done too much, I've been too bad, Jesus can't forgive. Yes, he can. Not only can he, but it is the will of Jesus to forgive your sin. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but willing that all should come to repentance. Jesus loves you too much to leave you in your sin, condemned to eternity in hell. And he loves you so much that he will forgive your sin. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to what happened in this miracle. The leper was in the presence of Jesus. He wanted to be healed. Jesus wanted to heal him. He said, I will. But he was not healed until he asked for healing. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you are in the presence of Jesus. And he wants to forgive your sin. And he will forgive your sin, but not until you ask. So if you're not saved this morning, I hope that you'll do that even while we're talking, while we're finishing the sermon. Just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And man, he'll do it. And that feeling of conviction will leave and joy will replace it. I hope that you'll do that. Now, Christian, I want to remind you that Jesus loves you too. We forget that sometimes, don't we? Honestly, we forget that. Jesus loves you too much to leave you to try to figure all this stuff out on your own. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Jesus loves you too much to fail you. He loves you too much to forsake you. Quit worrying about it. Trust the love of God, obey the word of God, and remember that he is always with you. Finally, I want you to notice that it was the will of Jesus to commission this man. He left him with a job to do. In verse 14, he said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. According to the law of Moses, if a leper was cleansed, was healed, then they had to go to the priest. The priest had to examine them physically. They had to offer certain sacrifices. They had to do that in order that they could be pronounced clean and that they could enter back into society and interact with their family and friends and get a job and all those kinds of things. They had to obey the law of God. So Jesus said, I want you to go obey the law of God. That's your commission. That's your job. Go obey God. Well, Christian, we have been commissioned. We have the commission to obey the word of God. Deuteronomy 27:10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Just go obey God. Boy, Christianity is really simple. You know what, man, we complicate this thing up, don't we? It's simple to get saved. Confess your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you, and you're saved. It's simple. I didn't say easy. It's simple to be a Christian. Obey the word of God. Just that. That's it. That's what we've been commissioned to do. We've been commissioned to tell others about Jesus. Mark 16:15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And somebody says, well, Pastor, I can't go into all the world. Sure you can. It's called missions. And we go by supporting others who do go. And we go next door to our neighbor, and we go to the people that we work with or go to school with. Sometimes we go to the people that we go to church with. Sometimes there's people in the church who aren't saved, and we go tell them about Jesus. We go into all the world with our prayer, with our financial support, and with our physical presence to go. Now listen, God, don't close the door on missions. God may call you to be a missionary. He may call you to the jungles of Africa. Isn't that what we always say? Because he said, he gave us a commission, go. Go preach the gospel. Go tell people about Jesus. Into the whole world, go tell people. That's our commission. That's our job. We're commissioned to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Normally, that's not too tough, is it? I did say normally. 1 John 4:7. Beloved Christians, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We are commissioned to love each other. We're commissioned to love everyone, including those that are lost. In Mark 12:31, Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. He taught us that our neighbor was everybody else. We're even commissioned to love our enemies. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. That's the hardest one. The love of Jesus is compelling. You probably got saved because of the love of Jesus. We all got saved because of the love of Jesus. He offered us salvation because he loves us. And the love of Jesus is attractive. And when we as Christians show the love of Jesus to other people, it attracts them to Jesus. That brings me back to the first part of this miracle that I want to read again, Mark 1:41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. I know Jesus felt love for this guy because it tells us that he did, and his actions prove that. But I want you to notice the words, moved with compassion. Jesus was physically moved, not just emotionally moved. He didn't just experience compassion on an emotional level. He demonstrated compassion on a physical level. He moved. He touched him. That's what the whole touch was all about, moved with compassion. That's not the first time. In Matthew chapter 14, we're told the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion for the multitude, and he physically did something. He blessed the food, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread to the disciples to distribute to the people. He was physically moved with compassion. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus physically touched some blind men. He touched them. You remember the time that Jesus spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle, and then he put it. He touched that clay to the eyes of the blind. Jesus was constantly physically moving, touching among people, among the lost. He was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion for you and me and everybody when he physically carried his cross to Calvary. Physically laid down on the cross and allowed them to drive spikes through his hands and his feet. Physically moved. Jesus Christ, Christian, Jesus Christ is our example of what we should do. So that tells me that our love for each other and our love for the lost and even our love for our enemies should cause us to physically move. Physically do something about it. We say that we love everybody. We say that we love our neighbor. We say that we love the lost. Sometimes we even say through gritted teeth, I love my enemies. Well, the proof is in the movement. The proof is in what do we do about our love. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We live in a difficult time. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Every minister, every pastor who has ever pastored a church or preached the gospel from the beginning of time to today could say the same thing. We live in a difficult time. Noah certainly lived in a difficult time. Abraham certainly lived in a difficult time. Joseph lived in a difficult time. That Jesus lived in a difficult time. The apostle, everybody, every Christian, every preacher, every teacher has lived in a difficult time. We live in a difficult time. And we are challenged in our difficulties to demonstrate our love of Jesus to other people. Are you moved with compassion? Would you stand with me this morning?